Good morning, everyone. So we're reading in book two, the book of the Traveler of the Worlds, and this canto, number four, is called The Kingdom of the Little Life. So far we've passed several sections in which Asvapati became aware of the emergence of life, very, very simple life forms and life energies from matter. And those primary life forms were so primitive that an ordinary observer might think that this is hardly worth living for, well, these tiny little lives. All their efforts to exist brought such poor and sad results. But Asvapati perceives that that's not the way to see it, that this is the beginning of something much vaster. This primitive stage has to be passed through in order for much greater forms of life to emerge. So I think we stopped at the bottom of page 141, am I right? Yes. And now there are two more sections to read to the end of the canto, and I think we should read those two sections. The first one is about the animal creation, the different levels of the animal creation, and the second one we have to read is about the first emergence of mind in living creatures. So Ram Narayan, would you like to start at the break on page 141?
Then came a fierier breath of waking life, and there arose from the dim gulf of things the strange creations of a thinking sense, existence half real and half dream.
Maybe you have to project your voice a little bit.
A life was there that hoped not to survive. Beings were born who perished without trace. Events that were a formless drama's link, and actions driven by a blind creature will. A seeking power found out its road to form. Patterns were built of love and joy and pain and symbol figures for the moves of life. An insect hedonism fluttered and crawled and basked in a sunlit nature's surface thrill, and dragon raptures, python agonies, crawled in the mass and mire and licked the sun. Armored strength shook a frail quaking ground, great puissant creatures with a darkest brain, and pygmy tribes imposed their small life drift.
Thank you. You read.
In the dwarf mode of humanity, nature now launched the extreme experience and master point of her design's caprice. Luminous result of her half-conscious climb. Bends twixt her sublimities and grotesques, to massive from infinitesimal shapes, to a subtle balancing of body and soul, to an order of intelligent performance. Around him, in the moment beats of time, the kingdom of the animal self arose, where deed is all, and mind is still half-born, and the heart obeys a dumb unseen control. The force that works by the light of ignorance. Her animal experiment began, crowding with conscious creatures her world scheme. But to the outward only they were alive. Only they rebelled to touches and surfaces, and to the prick of need that drove their lives. A body that knew not its own soul within, there lived and longed, had wrath and joy and grief. A mind was there that met the objective world, as if a stranger or enemy at its door. Its thoughts were needed by the shocks of sense. It captured not the spirit in the form. It entered not the heart of what it saw. It looked not for the power behind the act. It studied not the hidden motive in things, nor strove to find meaning of it all.
Thank you. Jenny?
Being were there who wore a human form, absorbedly lived in the passion of the sea, but knew not who they were or why they lived, content to breathe, to feel, to sense, to act. Life had for them no aim save nature's joy, and the stimulus and delight about the things identified with the spirit's outward shell. They worked for the body's wants. They craved no more the vain spectacle watching from their depths, fixed not his inward eye upon himself, nor turned to find the author of the plot, who saw the drama only and the stage. There was no brooding stress of deeper sense. The burden of reflection was not borne. Mind looked on nature, knowing eyes, adored her boobs, and feared her monstrous strokes. It pondered not on the magic of her laws. It thirsted not for the secret well of truth, but made a register of crowding facts and strong sensations on a vivid thread. It hunted and it fled and sniffed the winds, or flowed inert in sunshine and soft air. It sought the engrossing contact of the world, but only to feed the surface sense with bliss.
Thank you. Very good. Done. Yes. Some people don't know where we are. So we're on page 144, in the middle of the page. Varadarajan just finished reading line 441. So we're just about to start from line 442. Have you got the place, Mike? So Don, would you read, please?
They turned in grooves of animal desire. In walls of stone, fenced around, they worked and worked, gained by abandoned selfishness a small good, or wrought a dreadful wrong and cruel pain on sentient lives, and thought they did no ill. Ardent from the sack of happy, peaceful homes, and gorged with slaughter, plunder, rape, and fire, they made of human selves their helpless bread. A drove of captives led to lifelong woe, or torture a spectacle made and holiday mocking or thrilled by their torn victim's pain, admiring themselves as titans and as gods. Proudly they sang their high and glorious deeds and praised their victory and their splendid force. An animal in the instinctive herd, pushed by life impulses, forced by needs, each in his own kind, saw his ego's glass. All served the aim and action of the pack.
Thank you. Marianne.
Those like himself, by blood or custom, to him were parts of his life, his action themselves, his personal nebulous, constituent stars, satellite companion, his solar power. A master of his life's environment, the leader of a huddled human mass, hurting for safety on dangerous earth, he gathered them around him as if minor powers to make a common front against the world, for the weak and soul on an indifferent as a fortress for his undefended part, or else to heal his body's loneliness. In others, the miskind is seen their foe, an alien, unlike force to suspicion and fear, a stranger and adversary to aid and escape. Or he lives as life.
As lives.
He lives as lives, not as life.
No,
he lives as lives the solitary root, at war with all evil, his single faith.
Thank you. France.
Absorbed in the present act, the fleeting days, none sought to look beyond the other's gaze, or dreamed to make this earth a fairer world, or felt some touch divine surprised his heart. Gladness, the fruitive moment gave, the desire grasped, the bliss, the experience won, his feet and strength, joy enough, and bodily longings shared, and quarreled and played, in tears and love and belief called light, in war and clasp his life once joined for all life, wrestlings of a divided unity, inflicting brutal grief and happiness, the ignorance of the self forever one, arming its creatures is delight and hope, a half-awakened nascence struggled there to know my sight and touch the outside of things.
Thank you. Bom.
Instinct of the poem, in memory the crowd is late, the cartilage the own as in a hotness tree, embodied in the half of the pickling land, shake out around the fortunate tree, bombing hand, crushed to the little ship to the rich and thin, and put aside in ancient cave. So must the thin being grow in life and hope, and rise to his higher destiny at last. Look up to God and around at the mirror, and learn by failure and progress by fall, and better the environment and mood. By suffering his trouble to the deep soul, and by possession more to his own body.
Thank you. Jocelyn.
Was made some shades of the flame of life,
Thank you. Bhuvana.
The whole creation now living in its face, and all of bodies, every mind was made. And every of life kindled the obscure foreign force, endowed a human world with the same idea, and armed the act with thoughts lying on it, as one thinking being washed the whole supply. A difficult illusion to the hero, home and much information from the law, and this being, blind in conscience anyway, could never have disclosed his hidden mind, or even in thinkers watch in beast and man, the intelligence that belongs to cosmic speed. At first he saw a dim, obscure mind fall, moving considered by matter and down back. A current thing, its stream in life's vast flow, causing him drifting under a drifting sky, humming the surf and glimmering tremulous spot, leaves in splash of sense and breathing waves. In the deep midst of an incendiary world, a hurried gauge and form of consciousness ran, pressing and feeling through a narrow strait, carrying experience in its cloudless face. It flowed emerging into upper life from the deep pool of its subliminal birth to meet some high existence still unknown.
Thank you. What do you read?
There was nothing himself. In there was none. All was unorganized stress and seekings. Only to the unstable surface rose sensations, steps, and edges of desire, and passion sleeps and brief emotions rise. A casual colloquy of flesh with flesh, a murmur of heart to longing, wordless heart. Glimmerings of knowledge with no shame, of thoughts, and yet of subconscious hunger or hunger's both. All was dim sparkle on a foaming tongue. It whirled around a drifting shallow self, on an inconscient flood of force and time. Then came the pressure of a sealed power that drew all into a dancing, turbid mass, circling around a single luminous point, center of reference in a conscious field, figure of a unitary light within.
Thank you, Gita.
Leap the impulse of the heart and change the flesh, even the illusion gaze of fixity, gaze if a seed could serve as a form soul, the strained observing power imposed to sight. It forced on flux a limit and a set, it gave a stream a lower narrow band, blue lines to snag the spirit's formlessness. It fashioned the light mind of bird and dish, the answer of the reptile and the fish, the primitive patron of the thoughts of man, the finite moment of the infinite, in bringing its way to a wide age of time. A march of knowledge moved in his science and guarded in the form a separate soul. Its right to be mortal, its reserved, but built a wall against the seas of death, and drew a hook to clutch eternity. A thinking entirety appeared in space.
Thank you. Sudhanya.
A little order all broke into view. While being had little room for act and sight, the probe was a clear but scanty ray. An instrument personally was born, and a restricted cramped intelligence, consented to confine in narrow bounds. Its seeking tried the thoughts with visible things, prohibiting the adventure of the unseen, and the soul strayed to unknown infinities. A reflex reason, nature habits glass, new mind, life to know, and fix its field. accept a dangerous, ignorant, driven, and inconclusive purpose of its work, and profit by the hours with various chance in the allotted boundaries of its day. A little joy and knowledge satisfied, this little being tied in the knot and hung on a bulge of its environment. A little carved part of in the measureless space, a little span of life in all vast time.
Hmm. Thank you. Turiya.
The thought was there that can the way that's true, that for small beings within comparables from placing and measure following on changing things. It knew itself the creature of the map. It asked no larger role, no larger aim. It had no inward look but what gaze. A backward scholar on logic's rickety bench, indoctrinated by the erring sense, it took appearance of the face of God, for casual light the marching of the suns, for heaven the starry strip of doubtful blue, aspects of being feigned to be the whole.
Mm, thank you. Mihong?
There was a voice busy in the change, a marketplace of trivial thoughts and acts, a life soon spent, a mind the body slave here, seeing the brilliant crown of nature and high levels, took the word as means to say to a wife, what lust and weak desires in a dead, closed passage, so life's as thou a blind alley for patience sighed, as if for this the soul had poverty birth in the wonderland of a self-creating world and the opportunities of cosmic space. This creature, passionate, only to survive, fettered to pruning thoughts, is in no wider range, and the body's needs and pains endures. This fire growing by its pure state, increased by what it sees own, it gathered and grew and gave itself to none. Only it fought for greatness in its death, and the pleasure and victory in small fields of power, and conquest of life room for self and king, and animal limited by its feeding space, it knew that the immortal in its house, it had no greater, deeper cause to live.
Mm. Jean-Yves.
In limits only, it was powerful. Acute to capture truth, for how to use. Its knowledge was the body's instrument, absorbed in the little words of its prison pump. It turned around the same and changing points in the same circle of interest and desire, but thought itself the master of its shape, although for action, not for wisdom made. Thought was its apex, for its gutter's view. It saw an image of the external world and saw its surface self, but knew none. Out of a slow, confused, and broad self-search, mind grew to a gravity cut out, precise, a gleam and close in stone ignorance. In these bound thinking's narrow leadership, tied to the soul, inspired by common things, attached to a confined familiar world, amid the multitude of a motif, plots, by changing actors and her rigid masks, life was a plain, monotonously the same.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Here we come.
There were no vast perspectives of the spirit, no swift invasion of known delight, unknown delight, no golden distances of white leaves. This petty state resembled our human days, but fixed to eternity of changeless time, a moment's movement doomed to last through time, existence breathes like a span, the inconscient girl, a half ill mind building in a mist, which from a void to form a cross arose to sight and jutted out into a void of soul. A little light in a great darkness born. Life knew no where it went, nor where it came, nor whence it came. Around all floated still the nascent hills.
Mm. So there are glimpses here and there of things that we recognize, no? But in order to grasp them better, we'll have to go back and look more carefully. Back to page 141 at the break. You want to read, Prasad?
Then came,
Fierier.
Then came a fierier breath of walking light.
Waking.
Waking light. And there arose from the dim gulf of things, the strange creations of a thinking sense, existence half real and half dream. Their life was there that hoped not to survive. Beings were born who perished without trace. Events that were a formless drama's dreams, and actions driven by a blind creature's will, a seeking power found out its road to form. Patterns were built of love and joy and pain, the symbol figure for the moods of life.
Mm, thank you. So he says a fierier breath of waking life, instead of this life that's dominated by the inertia and unconsciousness of matter, there's some more dynamism in developing. So out of the dim gulf of things arose the strange creations of a thinking sense. They're developing and experiencing through the senses. Consciousness is emerging. But these are existences that are only half real. They are also half dream. And this life that was there, it had no future, nor it had no hope to survive. The beings were born and then they perish without any trace, leaving nothing behind them. Events happened that seemed to be parts of some kind of drama, but it has no form. Actions happen, but those actions are driven by a blind will. But in this stage, this seeking power of life began to find out its road to form, to characteristic forms. And patterns were built, types of love and joy and pain. They are all symbol figures for the varied different moods of life. And in the next sentences, he gives some examples of these symbol figures which are recognizable to us. Yes. Yes.
And then these it continues and is able it finds out its road to form and patterns. Those lines are connected.
Well, these strange creations, they're being driven by a power. A power of thinking sense. They're not individualized. I think this is the meaning, that These are existences half real and half dream. So those beings just come and go. They're born and they perish without trace. And events happen which also seem to have no connection to anything else. The actions. These are all tentative movements of this seeking power, which is finding out a way to stabilize forms, characteristic forms. That's how I understand it. And these then become kind of patterns. So when we get the examples, we'll understand and recognize these patterns. Yes?
A question comes from this line, a life was there that the hope not to survive.
Yes.
It didn't survive her long. And at that time, man was not there. Through evolution, we came. That means at that point, we also participated.
Yes, we must have gone through these stages.
This evolutionary process is still on.
Yes.
That means at this point of time, also some matter is passing through this stage.
Yes. Some matter in our own bodies, which affects our own psychology also. Now, where are we? Tera, you can read, please. Yeah, line 3. Tera, yes.
An insect hedonism fluttered and crawled at last in the sunlit nature's surface frills, and dragon raptors, titan enemies, crawled from the marsh and mire and licked the sun. Huge armored strands shook the frail quaking ground, great recent creatures was a blotted dream, and pygmy tribes imposed their small laughter.
Let's look at this interesting sentence. So there's an age in Earth history, which is the age when the insects developed, no? Along with the development of plant life. The insects develop. And if we think of insects, we think of them like, you know, dragonflies basking in the sun and drawing energy from it. Hedonism, it's the pleasure principle, the enjoyment of life, butterflies and dragonflies and various different kinds of flying insects. These insect hedonism fluttered and crawled. Of course, there are insects like ants that crawl on the ground, and then they grow wings and flutter like termites. So they are basking, they're enjoying the warmth of the sun. It's a time when things were warm, and that gives some kind of surface thrill, enjoyment to those life forms. And we connect that also with the time of the dinosaurs, the gigantic dragon-like creatures, and the reptiles, of course, I suppose dinosaurs are also reptiles. Python agonies. Python, these gigantic constrictor snakes, which have been, they're an animal, of course, but it's a symbol in many mythologies for the clutch of matter. This python agonies, there they are crawling in the marshes and the mire, the mud, and they are putting out their tongues to experience heat and light. No? So there are these huge armored strengths, these gigantic animals, when they move, the whole ground shakes because it's anyway rather unstable, muddy quicksand. No? These are great, puissant, powerful creatures, but they have tiny little brains.
The smallest chicken brain, and they have one brain in the tail also, I was told.
Yes.
Yeah, tiny
they needed a separate brain to control those gigantic tails. And at the same time, there were small mammals developing. Pygmy tribes. But we think that those pygmy tribes, those small mammals who developed at that time, probably are the ancestors of the primates and humanity. So they have a very small kind of, but their habits and affect the way that things go on in that world. Patricia, would you read? He seems to suggest that it's at this time that this first, eventually human creatures, a dwarf model humanity, that's when this extreme experiment gets launched. The master point of all the caprice of nature, everything that she's brought into existence, there's going to be some line which is going to have a special importance. This master point of all the caprice, of all her fantastic designs, he says, is the luminous result, the luminous outcome of this half-conscious climb of life, as if on the rungs of a ladder between her highest, most beautiful forms and her most grotesque and distorted forms. And there are also rungs, levels, ranging from absolutely massive shapes in those huge armored strengths, right down to tiny, tiny little infinitesimal. So somewhere in the middle comes this luminous output, this master point. She manages to achieve a subtle balancing of body and soul to bring out an order of intelligent littleness, small beings, but with some promising development of intelligence and soul. Mm.
Here he says, in a dwarf model of humanity, does it mean that the dwarfish brain of the dinosaur is
no,
studying?
I think this is, I mean, what the biologists tell us is that at the same time when there were those giant dinosaurs, there were these tiny little lemurs and things, this intelligent littleness, bright little mammals were developing, from whom who are perhaps our ancestors. We must have gone through that reptile experience, that dinosaur experience, but it seems that the heredity of the primates and the humanoids came from these small first mammals. At least that's how I'm understanding it. Yeah.
Why is he calling nature's caprice?
He does that all the time. That the way that nature and life and the creative power works, it seems capricious, aimless, just done like that for no particular reason, and all that variety. But somehow, out of all that apparent aimlessness, meaningless outputs emerge. By chance. No?
No, but it also said somewhere nature had a design.
Here it says design, yes. Actually, he says these two things together. He says, the master point of her designs, caprice. So she's designing by caprice. I don't know whether there are any designers here, but it's something which designers have to do. No, sometimes they just doodle and they try out all kinds of impossible things until something meaningful stands out. So nature seems to work like that too. We work like that because nature works like that. Part of it, yeah. You like to read?
Around him, in the moment of time, the kingdoms
Thank you. So this is what Aswapati is seeing, this evolutionary process. He gets a vision of these moment beats of time, and in that process, the kingdom of the animal self arose. Form was needed, so these typical forms, typifying things that we recognize as emotions, and the senses, the thinking sense, and all these experiments she's made with different sizes, and different types of bodies. So the king, in the kingdom of the animal self, he says, deed is all, action. And mind has not yet been fully born. It's on the way to being born. There is some kind of emotion, a feeling, but that's obeying some unconscious, dumb, unseen control. So all this is being done by the creative life force, working by the light of ignorance. And again, this is a new experiment. Her animal experiment began, crowding with conscious creatures her world scheme. So many, many, many different kinds of animals. But these creatures, these conscious creatures, are conscious only of the outward, the surfaces. That's what they respond to, react to, touches and surfaces, and to the prick of need, the feeling that now I must drink, now I must eat, now I must copulate.
What is a creature?
Sorry?
What does it mean, creature?
Where, which line is it in? The prick, a prick, a sharp point pricks you, like a goad or a, yeah? So that's what need does to us. It gives us a prick, or like an insect. The Greek image is a gadfly, no? That drives you. There's that terrible sting, a prick, the prick of need.
An injection.
Yes, an injection. You'll read, Ganga? At the bottom of the page, line 386.
The body that knew not its own soul within, the relief and long and love and joy and grief. The mind of that that makes the objective world, as a stranger or enemy at its birth, its thoughts were needed by the shocks of science. It's captured, not the spirit in the form. It entered not the heart of what it sought. It looked not for the power behind the lack. It studied not the hidden motive in things. Not strong to find the meaning of its own.
Thank you. This is the animal self. There's a body, and it has feelings, lives and longs. It feels anger and joy and grief. There is some mind, but this mind is just reacting to the world around it, the objective world. And it reacts defensively. The world around it is a stranger, an enemy. It has to be defended against. So the thoughts of this mind are kneaded. This is what we do with dough to make bread. And there's even a remark of the mother about during in one of her Matrimandia talks. She says that's what she's doing. She's kneading us all. Malaksi, she said. That's what I'm doing. So in this case, it's the sense which is doing this, kneading the dough, making it more alive. and it's only spurred on by the shocks of sense. It doesn't look deeper into things, doesn't capture the spirit that's inhabiting and enlivening the form. It doesn't go below the surface and enter the heart of all those things which it's seeing. It doesn't wonder when there's an action. It doesn't wonder what is the power that is driving it. It doesn't wonder, it doesn't begin to think about the hidden motive in things. Why are things happening like that? It's not a mind that strives to find the meaning of it all. It's an animal mind. Although I think some domestic animals do sometimes look at us and wonder, what is the meaning of it? What are they doing? Why? They look at us sometimes like that.
Your friend is crow.
Yes. Yeah, crows are very intelligent. They wonder, that's true.
I have a question.
Yes. That's how we can use these animals as symbols. Otherwise, yeah, we see them as symbols. They are expressions of certain life movements, and they are given forms to express those life movements. One species more than another. No, we still recognize that. No, that. Hyenas represent certain characteristics, and despite all the misbehavior of lions, we still think of them as very noble. And
that's true.
Yeah.
Then, so the animals these qualities exist before mind.
Yes. Very often.
Up to now, each other.
But next, now we're moving on. Who's going to read next, Sebastian?
Each form has a soul, correct? Each form.
You can say each form is a type. No?
But it has a soul within.
It says there's a soul within, yes. Obviously, I think actually nothing can exist unless there's the soul is within it.
It is clearly mentioned. Yes.
Yeah.
I want to have a question about this line 386. A body that knew not
its own soul within. Yes.
But many of us in the same situation.
Yes, many of us are still in this animal state. No.
We haven't progressed much.
Yeah, but it might be that our bodies are a bit more sensitive to the soul within than the mind is, than the surface mind is. I think Mother has said something like that, that there's a kind of special, strong connection between the body and the psychic being, and sometimes the body expresses the psychic being better than the mind or the life can do. But this has not developed yet. So, Sebastian.
Beings were there who wore a human form, absorbed the lift, the passion of the scene, but knew not who they were or why they lived, content to breathe, to feel, to sense, to act. Life had for them no aim save nature's joy and the stillness of beloved.
veiled spectator watch from the depth, fixed not his inward eye upon himself, nor turned to find the author of the plot. He saw the drama only in the stage.
Thank you. So those beings look somewhat human, but they are still animal in their consciousness. They are identified with the spirit's outward shell, just with the surface, the body. And that's what they make effort for. They work for the body's want, and they don't want anything else. They don't think of anything, of wanting anything else. There is a soul within. The veiled spectator is within, and it's watching all this. But it's watching the outside. He doesn't turn within. He doesn't introspect. He doesn't turn his inward eye upon himself. And he doesn't turn around to find who is writing this drama, who's the author of this plot. He only sees all this outward drama and the stage that it's played on. And that's what he lives for. The only aim is to enjoy nature and the outward scene, the stimulus and delight of outer things. This is the beginning of humanity. It says these are beings that wore a human form. They are, it's the beginnings of human life.
So from animal to man, little change, but how can one expect so much leave that you want for something else more than that?
No, I don't think King Aswapati or Sri Aurobindo expects at all, but he's making us aware that there's this important stage which has lasted for a long time and been very important in the development of humanity, which is still important, for heaven's sake. We are all very much still absorbed in the outward scene, aren't we?
We met it years ago. It seems to me not very far away from this stage.
Right, yes. We can read a little further. Please, Hong. Yes.
There is no living test or deeper sense. The vulnerable reflection was not born. Minded with one nature, with an unknowing eye, adored her wounds, and feared her monstrous strokes. It wandered upon the magic of her words. It thirsted after the seeking wealth of good food, but made over red straw, crowding facts, and strong sensations on her evil threats. It hunted and fled and sniffed the winds, what spoke enough in the night sunshine and soft air. His thoughts be engrossing context of the world, but only to feel the surface sense we will please.
Thank you. So this is obviously a primitive stage of human development, but their mind is there. But there's no brooding stress of deeper sense. The burden of reflection was not born. That comes at a little further stage where the beings begin to wonder about things and reflect. Mind is looking on nature and taking it in, even adoring good things, enjoyable things, reacting with fear to the monstrous strokes of nature, if there's a storm or a tree falls. But there's no beginning of pondering, of thinking about the reasons, the way that nature works. And there's no thirst for the wells of truth. That is something that develops in later humanity, no? That thirst for true knowledge. Sorry? I don't want to put these biological labels on. You can try if you like. Sapiens means something a bit more. It seems to mean that there's some reflection, no? That there's some working of purpose and aim. Here it's more still reactions. No? There's a register of crowding facts. Animals are very, very alert to, and animal humanity, to all the sensations around. So it reacts appropriately, it hunts, and it runs away when there's danger, and it sniffs the winds to find what is around. The sensations are very sensitive. But the purpose of all this is only to feed the surface sense with that kind of bliss that the surface sense can enjoy. These felt, they do feel the quiver of life in the outward touch. They can't feel the soul behind the outward touch. But what he describes next, they are obviously somehow thinking beings. We can go a little further, Evelyn. Yeah. The huge universe.
They prayed often the word and were its prey, but never dreamed to conquer and be free.
They can't imagine mastering their environment. So we've been through all this, and none of it is lost. It's all still there somewhere. But we have moved a bit further. And of course the...
And is it also that it is happening within us every moment in certain level? And
I suppose it depends how conscious we are.
Yeah.
Anyway, we still have one more canto to go, but then we come to canto 6, the kingdoms and godheads of the greater life. So there is a progression. But I think we'll stop there for today. Thanks to Sri Aurobindo.